Returning our attention to the prayer of Jacob, running through from verse 9 to verse 12. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst to me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Let's bow in prayer and ask for the help of the Lord. Lord, we truly need thee. We need thee far more than we know. We seek unto thee. We pray for thy presence. Lord, thou hast blessed the word of God to our souls before. We pray that thou wilt come again with refreshing. We need a provision of thy grace. We need, Lord, to lay up good things in store for the week that lies ahead. We ask thee to feed us from the table laden to abundance in our Father's house. For in our Father's house there's bread enough and to spare. Even the prodigal knew that on his way home. And we ask, Lord, that we may come, beggared as we are, poor and needy as we are, holding out our hands and reaching out from our hearts unto thee. Minister to us, Lord, I need teaching from thee. I need help from the sanctuary. I need the counsel of the Most High. Grant, Lord, the infilling of the Holy Spirit with power. We cry to thee for the anointing of God in this ministry. Set thy seal upon the preached word, we beseech thee. Make this time beneficial to us all. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Already we have been thinking of the background of this prayer. One Lord's Day we spoke about Jacob coming back to God, coming back to the land of promise. Last time we reflected upon his address, how he brought God into his prayer, and this especially we find in the verse 9, when Jacob used the threefold address as he spoke to the triune God, could identify himself with God, and could say, Lord, thou art the God who did speak unto me. We can pray best when God is working. We can pray best when our prayers have ascended up to God from hearts that personally have responded to his word. And when God said to Jacob certain things, Jacob was able to go over those things again and make the word of God the basis for his praying. We spoke at length about this last Lord's Day, showing the importance of memorizing the scriptures, of holding fast to that faithful word we have heard, and of using what we have heard of the word of God in the secret place as we come to pray. This was how Jacob prayed. Today I want you to look at the structure of the prayer. Verse 9 is taken up with the contemplation of God. This is where Jacob begins. Remember, Jacob is full of fear. Remember, Jacob is in terror of his life. And yet, when he could have prayed so readily about himself, he starts with God. It's useful for the Christian to pattern his praying upon the great prayers of Scripture. The Holy Spirit has been pleased to record this and other prayers in the Bible for our admonition. Jacob then started with God. And verse 9, if you're careful to note, is all about God. He's taken up with the Lord in his praying, with the greatness of God, with the word of God, with the grace of God. Thou art the God, he's saying, who said unto me, I will deal well with thee. And this, we emphasize, is the person of God, the greatness of God, the grace of God, God's readiness to do him good. And he knows as surely as he prays that the Lord will bless him richly. Thou art that God who did say, I will deal well with thee. The Lord is just the same today. It is no vain thing to seek his face. This is the kind of attitude Jacob has as he comes to God in prayer. He knows that the Lord will do him good. He has a rich view of God. And it is important for God's people in these evil times to follow the pattern of the patriarch and entertain great views of God. Recognize that God is rich in grace, that the Lord is ready to reward you, ready to bless you, that the Lord most assuredly will do you good as you seek unto Him. Verse 9, therefore, Jacob is taken up with God. Verse 10, he is taken up with himself. He starts, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies. He's taken up with himself. There is room for us when we pray to include ourselves. Then in verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother. Here he's taken up with the enemy. So there are three parts to the prayer. Jacob consumed with the greatness of God. Jacob burdened for himself and praying about himself. And lastly, in verse 11, Jacob making intercession before God for deliverance. Deliverance from the hand of the enemy. Let us keep that simple structure in mind. It may help us when we ourselves go to prayer to start with God. Start with the greatness of God. Start with the grace of God. Start with the readiness of God to bless you and do you good. Entertain great views of God when you pray. Let us now turn our attention to verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Jacob comes into God's presence with thanksgiving. When you start to pray about yourself, remember to go down the list of all those gracious benefits which the Lord has bestowed upon you. The Christian should learn early in his experience to give thanks to the Lord. It was said in ancient time among the heathen that God's people were distinguished because they were a people full of praise. The heathen passing by listened to them sing, and they were struck with the way that their hearts were full of praise to the Lord they worshipped. It was said therefore of them, by way of testimony, these are people full of praise. Let the Christian today be just the same. Let him be taken up with the mercy of God toward him. Let him take time to thank the Lord. And this thanksgiving, which characterizes the second part of the prayer, includes thoughts about his own unworthiness. Jacob felt his unworthiness. Listen, men and women, we are unworthy of even the least of God's mercies. There's no question about that. But Jacob's own consciousness of his unworthiness does not hinder him in prayer. He is not so overwhelmed with his unworthiness as to imagine that the Lord will not therefore bless him. Well, the devil is busy scheming to hinder God's saints from prayer, and he will use almost anything to hinder you from coming to the Lord. If he can magnify your personal unworthiness to such a degree that he may convince you that you have therefore nothing to ask from God and nothing to expect from God, the devil has distorted the truth concerning prayer. Oh, the Lord throws out a warm welcome to his saints. He bids you come to his feet in spite of your unworthiness. It is certainly a good exercise for the Christian to feel his unworthiness, to confess his unworthiness to the Lord as Jacob does. But let your unworthiness be no hindrance. I'm sure that there are some in this congregation, you have felt unworthiness, and you have allowed that feeling of unworthiness to keep you away from the prayer meeting. Sometimes to keep you away from the house of God, that's just a distortion of the truth. You may come unworthy as you are. This magnifies the mercy of God to see, as we do here in this prayer, that God will take in unworthy sinners that God will take in unworthy saints. He will bestow His goodness upon them. As this verse stands in the original, and you'll find there is a clue given in the margin. The margin in my Bible reads, I am less than all the mercies and all the truth. I am less. And there Jacob saw his own smallness, his own nothingness. If you have that marginal note, I suggest that you underline it to fix your attention on it later. I am less. Paul wrote one time, I am less than the least of all the saints. Perhaps the apostle was meditating on this prayer. It is a fact, however, that as Jacob came to pray, he felt his own nothingness in the sight of God. Just now, I have been reminding you of Jacob contemplating the greatness of God. How in verse 9, he was making much of God. But now he makes nothing of himself. Oh, this may seem a rather familiar point for me to make. And yet I have to keep in mind the spirit of this age. In modern evangelicalism, this truth that we're emphasizing is just reversed. It seems as if men are prepared to make little of the Lord, or at least not to see Him in the supreme dignity of His person, while they make much of themselves. We get information concerning the churches of Britain. We find that Christian people and some sea of people among them, I believe, who are taken up with the church to such a degree that they speak of the voice of the church, the influence of the church, the witness of the church, the response of the church, and things like this, all to do with this present age, what the church is responsible to do, and how the church must get down and apologize to the world and to the ungodly and numerous other factions. And we seem to have lost sight of the Lord. I like this prayer in the book of Genesis. It makes much of God. It makes little of man. Even the best of men. And we may see Jacob in that light as the best of men. He is God's servant. He is God's anointed. He is the man in whom the Spirit of God abides at this time, as we read Genesis 32. He's the man God's going to use. He's the man God is going to bless in a signal fashion. And Jacob, as he prays, makes much of God and nothing of himself. We have said this before. It bears repetition. The Spirit in many of the Psalms that are written in this decade is, Lord, here am I need joy, I need life, I need everything that heaven can give me. Lord, what can you do for me? This is the spirit of today. And young people are being influenced by these songs in some places. And Christian people are being influenced by these songs in some places to pray in a fashion like this. Lord, here am I. I've tried the world. I've tried what the devil can do. Now what can you do for me? In the scriptures, the prayer of Paul at his conversion was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? His prayer was far different from the spirit of this age. Paul might have said, Lord, I'm important in the eyes of the Sanhedrin. I'm very important in Jerusalem. What can you do for me now that I'm going to be saved? But instead, Lord, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I am nothing. Thou art my King. Thou art my Redeemer. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I am as nothing in thy sight. Oh, for biblical praying. Oh, for a revelation of ourselves. Oh, to see our nothingness and at the same time see God's greatness. The prayer of Jacob contains an immense amount of teaching. The Christian stands to benefit greatly by what he learns from this inspired portion of Scripture. Jacob in thanksgiving. He recognizes then God's goodness to him. He sees his own nothingness, his personal unworthiness. He says, I'm not worthy of even the least of all the mercies. You come right down, narrow down your view of the mercies of God to you. Narrow down the field until you get to what you conceive as the very least of the mercies. Now there's an exercise before God's people in this congregation. Could we make an attempt at saying, what is the very least? I find it baffling. What is the least of all of God's mercies? You have eyes to see, ears to hear, lips to speak. Could we say that these faculties represent the least of God's mercies? No, not a bit. Food on your table. You had a piece of bread this morning. Maybe something else to go along with it. Maybe a great deal to go along with it. You would say, well, maybe that was nothing. Maybe that was the least of all of God's mercies. But if you didn't have a bite to eat today, tomorrow, the next day, on into next week, the week following, very soon your health would deteriorate. You would come to die. You could not live without that. I say, if that was the least of all of God's mercies, the meal you had this morning, you could not live without the daily provision. You could not exist without it. The least of all of God's mercies. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about all? Have you thought about all His mercies toward you? All the blessings. Oh, how rich we are. How well off we are. When we think of all that God has done for us, all the mercies which He has bestowed upon us, to come right down then to the least is a difficult thing to do. Equally, it is difficult for us, if not impossible, to take in all the mercies. Yet Jacob attempts to do this in his prayer. Do you know why we fall into despondency at times, some of us? Do you know why we run into difficulties in our praying? Because we do not have a great view of God. Sometimes we're so taken up with our distress, we lose sight of the Savior altogether. Because we're so conscious of our own battle, our own struggles, our own disappointments, we cannot see the greatness and the goodness of God. Oh, pray that instead of looking through the glass darkly, you will in some way see the dear Savior face to face. See the goodness of God. And if you cannot see all the mercies, and even the least of the mercies of which you're not worthy, you can at least say, Lord, open my eyes and let me see. Lord, I want to see all Thy mercies which have come to me. You've been good to me. True to Your word, You've dealt well with my soul. I want to take in all of that which God has done for me. Think about it when you pray. You prayed this morning, I believe. Maybe you prayed too when you came into the house of God. And if you missed that, then you should have sought the face of God this morning. When you sat in that seat, you should have cried earnestly with all your heart to God. Did you see all the mercies? Did your soul take it in? Jacob did. He was terrorized. He was afraid of his life, of facing Esau. He knew that Esau had vowed to slay him. He was near to death, he felt. This man was scared. And yet as he prays, he's taken up with the greatness of God. And he's even saying, Lord, I'm not worthy. Pray that you may see all the mercies. When you're downhearted, and when you're disappointed, when there are dark shadows, just you say, Lord, show me all the mercies. I haven't seen them lately. I have missed them. I have lost sight of the goodness of God. I'm not worthy of the least of these. Just remember to add that bit. Then Jacob spoke of all the truth. This is a remarkable expression. All the truth. All the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. He prays the Lord for that as well.
how well off we are that the Lord has spoken to us. Don't you prize the Word of God? Don't you cherish those times when alone with the Savior, God has counseled you from the Scriptures? Think of all the truth the Lord has shown unto you. There are Christians who have been sincere and earnest, yet they have been carried away with the deceptions of the charismatic movement. There are Christians who might have been every bit as earnest as you, yet who are held fast in the apostasy, and maybe have had no opportunity to get to a place where there was anything like a sound ministry. There are Christians who have been carried away with their own notions, destroyed by bitterness, wrecked by divisiveness, and they have not seen the mercy of God. Some of them have turned out backslidden and worldly and cold, miserable and wretched in themselves. Oh, think of all the truth God has shown you concerning your own nothingness and His greatness. You can say today, Lord, I thank you for all the truth. There are people who would seek the way to heaven, but they haven't got the Bible. Some who have the Scriptures and don't know how to read them. Some who have been reading the Word of God and have never found their need of a Savior. You can say, Lord, I thank you for all the truth you've shown me. It's the difference between heaven and hell. I want you to know that. It's the difference between heaven and hell. And then Jacob saw something else. He thought of what God had done for him. This word showed in verse 10 is the translation of the verb to do in the Hebrew. And we may think here of what God has wrought. And Jacob is saying, Lord, I think of all the mercies and I think of all the truth which thou hast wrought for thy servant. The word then that he got from God in the past was fulfilled. Remember, the Bible is true. If you speak about prophecy, never speak about prophecy coming true. Some Christians don't see the significance of this, and they may say, now the Lord said such and such a thing and it came true. Well, that's the wrong way to put it. Never refer to the Bible as coming true. The Bible is true. Prophecy is fulfilled because the Bible is true already. It's not coming true, it is true. It has to come to pass. All the truth which thou hast wrought, all the mercies which thou hast performed. Jacob is thinking here not only of seeing certain things, but of what God has actually done. What God has wrought in his life. He takes note of that. Furthermore, Jacob says, with my staff I passed over this Jordan. He saw that all he had came from God. He tells us here how he went away from home at the first, something like 20 years before. He ran away from home. With my staff, he said. He had nothing but a staff. He had nothing. And he ran away, got to Bethel. He came to Bethel with nothing but a stick. Nothing but a dry old stick in his hand. He had nothing. But he says, now. You see the word now? The end of verse 10? Now. 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 It's different. Now. I am become two bonds. I have a whole encampment. My camp is divided into two sections. Look at the greatness. And look at the kind of present I'm going to give Esau in verse 5 of chapter 32. And I say this for easy reference. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. Do you see? This man went away from home with nothing but a stick in his hand. And he's actually saying in verse 5, I have oxen and asses and flocks, men servants and women servants. All of this, he's saying to God in verse 10. When I left home, I had nothing. I had only a staff in my hand when I crossed this river. But now,
Oh Lord, Thou hast done this. Thou hast enriched me. Thou hast blessed me. All of this, Lord, You have done for me. You have blessed me in my soul. You have enriched me in my life. This is his prayer. Verse 11 of chapter 33. If you turn over the page, chapter 33, verse 11. Jacob is now speaking to Esau. He's offering him a blessing, a gift. Indeed it is a gift to think about. And he says, "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because," you see the words, "because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." Or as the margin says there, at chapter 33, verse 11, "I have all things." I have everything. I have everything. Let it sink in. I have everything. You can take this. Jacob says, Esau says, "Oh, that's far too much, and I have plenty anyway." But Jacob says, "I have everything. You can take this. This will not hurt me any to give you such an enormous gift. Don't think a thing about it. God has dealt very wonderfully with me." It made Jacob open-hearted, large-handed. It came to Jacob with such force and power that he's saying, "Look, this is what God has done for me." He doesn't say, "I worked hard." And so he did. He did work hard, with the sweat on his brow, sometimes the frost on his hair besides. Oh, Jacob labored very hard, and God amply repaid his labors. And yet he says, "God has dealt graciously with me. I have everything. I don't need a thing. I can bless you, Esau, because God has blessed me." He can hold out his hand, simply saying, "What I'm giving you, Esau, is not my own. It's what God has given me." This is the secret of Christian giving too, when we're giving in God's work. If you're giving to the Lord, and the Christian should start with the tithe, you're simply giving by that tithe unto God that which He has given to you. And by giving the tithe, or at least starting there with the tithe, which is the tenth, you're saying, "Lord, this is the token of Thy love. I recognize that the 10 tenths Thou didst give to me." You're not giving of your own to God. You're giving to God that which He has given to you. "With my staff," Jacob says, "I only had a stick when I went away. I only had a stick. But look at me now." He remembered what he was when he prayed. I know some Christians have forgotten that. If you find Christians falling into disagreement and bitterness, if you find divisiveness creeping in among the saints of God, dissension and disunity, and maybe hard words, you know that Christian people have forgotten what they were. They've forgotten that. They have forgotten the debt they owe to the Lord. They forget that they were only debtors. I have said to this congregation before, I know you'll appreciate me saying it again, what was a Christian before he met the Lord? Just tell me. He was only fit fuel for hell. That's all. What were we before we met the Lord? Only fit fuel for hell. That's all. God took us in as bankrupts, unworthy sinners. He didn't need any of us. The Lord took us in with nothing. He has enriched us with all things. All we have, we owe to Him. A Christian has no business getting such a spirit into his soul. A Christian has no business indulging in things that lead to disharmony. He was only fit fuel for hell. We need to remember what we were. Jacob does. He says, "Lord, I remember the time I only had a stick. I remember what it was." There's a danger, you see, for the rest of us, that we may forget what we were. We have bad memories. We forget what we were when the Lord found us. We forget where we were. You know, God may take a man in off the street, a bankrupt, a drunkard, somebody whose life and home is totally wrecked. The Lord saves that man
He puts a new man in the coat and a new coat in the man. Gives him a new home. Gives him a new life and a new future. He may get so filled up with worldly things that after a while he gets careless. He forgets what he was when the Lord found him. He forgets that he was only a miserable worm of the dust, a sinner headed for hell, somebody indeed on the edge of hell. That was where he was when the Lord took him in. He was forgotten. And we all forgot. I think in some sense we have to confess today. We have. We've forgotten what we were. When the Lord took us in, we were nothing. Oh, it's a bad thing if a Christian gets lifted up with pride. A very bad thing. It's a bad thing. A very bad thing if a Christian gets taken up with what he has. Remember, when the Lord took you in, you had nothing. Just you remember that. Don't get carried away with what you have. Never. Never. As long as you breathe, never get carried away with what you have. You only started out with a stick. That's how the Lord found you. You had nothing. And all of this that you have now, don't get carried away with it. The Lord gave you it. And I scarcely need to add, the Lord can take it away from you and bring you back to the stick. The Lord won't do that unless it's necessary. Bring you back to the place where you'll cast your old men. This is the prayer of Jacob. How much there is in it. We will think next Lord's Day of how Jacob contemplated the enemy, how he finished his prayer. Let's bow in the presence of the Lord. Jacob says, Lord, when I went away and ran from home and crossed this river to which now I have come, I crossed this river, I had nothing. I'm coming back to the land of promise, I'm coming back to God, and you've given me everything, everything I have. I have enough. I have the fullness of blessing. You can say, the Lord has enriched me. Oh, can you say, the Lord is everything to me? Don't be so taken up with your blessings, you've thought nothing of the Lord. Don't be so taken up with what you have, you've forgotten Him. Oh, just you say now before God, Lord, Thou art everything to me. There's a little chorus. I love that chorus. I love it because of what it means. Jesus, Thou art everything to me. The Christian shouldn't occupy any other ground. Jesus, Thou art everything to me. It didn't occur to me before I started to preach that I might quote that chorus. In fact, it wasn't even in my mind as I stood to preach this morning. It might have been good for us to sing it and mean it. You know that Paul wrote about this in his letter to the Colossians. He said, Christ is all. Christ is all. That is, Christ is everything. He's everything to me. What have you got? Is it your car? Is it your bank account? Is it your house? Is it your business? Is it your family? Is that it? Is it your good health and your comfortable circumstances? Is that it? Can you set those things aside as best you can now? I want you to set aside your house, your bank account, your business, your associations, whatever it is that's important to you. In fact, to tell the truth, there are some in the congregation, and maybe touching on a point, and that's everything to you. It's just everything, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, it's everything to you. You've made a mistake. You've sinned against the Lord. You've missed God's will. You've put something before the Lord. You've made an idol out of that, whatever it is. You've made an idol out of it. You've made a terrible blunder. Will you come to the Lord now? Will you come back? Will you say, Lord, you've
Show me in this prayer that thou art everything to me. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. O Lord, we thank thee for today. We thank thee for this prayer. We thank thee for the fresh perspective and life that it gives to us. Forgive us, Lord. We have been taken up, wholly taken up, with so many other things. Maybe it hasn't been our blessings, it might have been our problems, but we've been wholly taken up with those things. Bring us to the place like Jacob. Lord, teach me to pray like Jacob, where I can see the greatness of God and His readiness to do me good more and more. Where I can see my own nothingness. Lord, save me from pride. Save me from high thoughts of myself. Save us all from high thoughts of ourselves. Save us all from our pride. Bring us to an end of ourselves. Lord, save us from being taken up with what we have. When we think of what we were and how we came into the world and how we're going to leave it. Oh Lord, what we have will pass away, all of it. We thank thee for what we possess in Christ. And we can say in very truth, Lord Jesus, thou art everything. Everything to me. Make it so, Lord. The preacher has tried to minister. He's lifted up his voice in an effort to preach. Lord, the work of sealing the message has to be thine. Speak to those who are older, to those who are younger, even to the children besides. Lord, make the word of God count in our thinking. Make it count in our lives. Make it count in our homes. Save us, Lord. Help us. There are things, Lord, that we would need to do, and we haven't even eyes to see them. We need counsel. We need to be taught. Lord, we're bad learners. We're slow learners, but we're willing to learn. Take us in as we are, Lord. Start us with the ABCs. Get us into the primary department. Oh God, open our eyes, open our hearts. Lead us on with thyself, we pray of thee. Let this prayer mean something in all our lives from this day and onwards. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.